It was 99 cents, but I think now it's free. So you can download it and read it on your phone. I was so stubborn, a gentleman gave me this book four times, and I wouldn't read it. Four times. The last time he came to me and said, would you go read this book? And I go, well, give it to me. He goes, no, you go print it. You go download it this time. So I download this book. This book was in a notebook that big, and that's how I read it.
I was going to say,
you can download the book if you want to, but the bottom line is you can read it. It's a lot easier to read it on Kindle than trying to download it. It's a lot of papers. It'll print out like 500 sheets or so. So it's a lot. It truly is. But I promise you, if you got to print it out, it's a good investment. Okay? But at any rate, it's a great revelation on end-time revelation on praying in the Spirit. Okay? So we're going to start early next week. Where I was going with that was that most of us are going to the prayer center in 2 weeks, I think it is. Is that right? 2 weeks? And so we will cancel the class October the 4th. Next week, I won't be teaching, but Nathan Varble from the prayer center will be teaching. How many have been to the prayer center before? Do y'all like Nathan Varble? Oh man, he's a young man, but he's got a powerful message. So, yes. Well, I'll probably start the announcement like 10 till, and I'll let him start teaching at about 7. And so we'll give him time to. And he'll have a great message. If he goes a little bit over, forgive him. He's long-winded. Okay? He's not like me. I'm kidding. I'm probably worse than he is. Okay? Again, no meeting on October the 4th, and we'll resume on October the 11th. There'll be intercessory prayer this coming Tuesday at City on the Hill. But the following Tuesday, there will not be intercessory prayer. At least DTC team will not be there. Now, if you want to go over the City on the Hill, they'll probably be praying, having intercessory prayer, and you're welcome to go over there. But I'm just saying the Dominion Training Center team will not be there. And listen, I want to encourage you. I know many people, whenever we talk about intercessory prayer, they just go tilt. And let me tell you why you go tilt. Your flesh. It's your flesh. See, I know about this praying in tongues stuff. And see, and the first thing when you pray in tongues, here's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to get rid of your character flaws. See, most prayer groups don't stay together because people end up fussing and fighting. Don't shout me down now.
Amen.
You know why? Because they don't spend time with the Father with the Holy Spirit to get rid of the character flaws. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me you don't have any. You got some. You got some. You know, I'm not hating on Joel Osteen, but even Joel Osteen has got character flaws. Okay? And again, I'm not being critical. I have character flaws. I'm getting rid of them all the time. But here's the point. I know I got them, and I can acknowledge them. And when the Holy Spirit brings them up to me, I vehemently want to get rid of them.
Amen.
I'm not making excuses for them.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So those hearing this tape may go, yeah, but come on down here and let's pray in tongues for a while, and we'll end up leaving here on one accord, I promise you. Okay, all righty. In the month of October, some of you know that we go to the prison ministry twice a month. The first Saturday of every month, we go to the Carol Young unit. Obviously, we're going to be in Tulsa, so we will not be going to the Carol Young visit in October. I'm going to have a special announcement for those that are going to be going to the prayer conference in Tulsa next week. So we'll hold that announcement until then, but we would ask you to be here so you can be well informed of what's going to be happening while we're there at the prayer center. Now, anybody can go to the conference. It's not a you are excluded, but we pay our own way. I drive, some fly. I don't think anybody walks, do they? Okay, but some may even be transported by the Holy Ghost. I don't know. We get hotel rooms, and really the hotels in Tulsa are really reasonable. I mean, they're like, some of these guys got a room for $79. I know mine's like $92 or something like that. So they're very, very reasonable. The hotel rates in Tulsa are very, very reasonable. I've been in some conferences where there are 125. Ken Copeland in Fort Worth, the hotel across the street is $250 a night. And that's the block rate, okay? You can get a cheaper room as you get further out. But when you're trying to go into a conference like that of 4,000, 5,000 people every day, man, that can be kind of frustrating. You have to get up early to fight the traffic, get there on time, and so on and so forth. So, again, if you want to go to Tulsa, it's free. See any one of us, myself, Mary, the Mulcahy's, Vivian, my wife, even Barbara can even show you the way. I'm being facetious. Don't cut the pastor down, okay? All right. After the meeting, we're going to have fellowship. Tonight is pizza night. Woo-hoo! Okay, so we have pizza coming in a few minutes. And we have blue buckets in the back for your giving if you want to assist with the cost of the room. We don't talk a lot about giving here at Dominion Training Center. It doesn't mean that we don't think it's important. It just means that we don't try to milk you for offerings. If you want to give, you give. If you don't, you don't. God raises up the people that he wants to give, and they give. And we haven't missed the cost of a meeting room. We by the way, we're not Cool Ministry. We're Dominion Training Center. We just meet in Cool Ministries area. But now, if you guys want us to have our own building, we'll just start believing God for more money, and we'll get our own building eventually. Somebody told me we need to be in the Galleria area. I said, well, come on, Galleria. My God is big enough to get us in the Galleria area. Of course, now, me personally, I'm going to have to deal with my faith regarding the traffic over there because I don't like the traffic in the Galleria. So, at any rate, we try to get out where we can kind of avoid the traffic, but, we're listening to God in case he tells us that we need to leave this area. But right now, this is where we are. We've been here for, 2 years now? 2.5 years now. Believe it or not, Dominion Training Center is four and a half years old, just about. Isn't that right? 4.5 years old. I cannot. No, it's about 4.5 years old. We started in June of 2000 and what was it? You remember? I don't know. But been about 4.5. I know we were 2 years over at the hotel, and we've been here almost 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So praise be unto God. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Well, we're going to get back on this subject of private worship. Now, there are times when I teach when I have to kind of exhort, and then there are times when I can really teach. And tonight will probably be one of those nights where I really get to teach line upon line. So the thing is, stay with me. I know I talk kind of fast sometimes and even get loud sometimes, but trust me, it's because I get excited about the Word of God. Well, tonight to begin with, we're going to go to a familiar passage of Scripture over in John chapter 4. This is the passage of Scripture that private worship. Amongst Bible scholars, there is a term known as the first mention. And whenever you see something mentioned the first time, you really want to pay attention to it. And actually, in John chapter 4, is the first mention that Jesus mentions private worship. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on and talks about it in Romans chapter 5. We studied that. The Apostle Paul talks about private worship in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But if you'll read the New Testament, especially in the epistles, you'll see things like fellowshipping. That's private worship. When I began to study the epistles, I began to see more about private worship than I've ever seen before. And so the thing is, we want to go back to this verse, kind of take a leap off this verse, and begin to delve into something. I promise you, you're going to learn something tonight. tonight we're going to talk about what it means to worship in spirit. And then when I come back from Tulsa, we're going to talk about what it means to worship in truth. So we're going to break this term down. Private worship in spirit and in truth, they're power twins. And Jesus spoke about power twins when the disciples were trying to cast out this devil. And they couldn't cast him out. And what's so strange about this is that the disciples had been they'd been sent out by Jesus, and they were casting out devils with no problem. And they came upon this demon, and he would not come out. And so they're down there huffing and puffing, and they're declaring and doing all that they can. And Jesus walks up on the scene, and Jesus is like, "What in the world is going on?" And they go, and the father says, "Well, I brought my lunatic son to your disciples. He has a demon, and they couldn't cast him out." And Jesus was like, "How long am I going to put up with this unfaithful generation?" Mm-hmm. He really, really scolded them. And the thing is, he just simply told them to hold on. And he went over, and guess what he did? He cast the devil out. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were like your disciples, you're going, "How did he do that?" Mm-hmm. So they waited, and the Bible says they asked him privately. You would too. Because you wouldn't want him to embarrass you like that. So they pulled him off to the side and they said, "Why couldn't we cast this thing out?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." Because of your unbelief. And then he said, "This kind," and most people think he's talking about a demon, but he wasn't. He said, this kind of what? "This kind of unbelief comes out but by prayer and fasting." So he introduced the power twins. Well, worship in spirit and in truth, they are power twins. They're power twins. And there's things that we're going to learn about spirit and in truth. So go over to John chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 20. It says, "Our fathers," and Jesus is now, he's having a conversation with the woman at the well. This is a Samaritan woman. And let me say this, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't like each other. It's not that they didn't like each other. They were just on opposite poles. They were just opposite. They had nothing to do with each other. So it was strange that Jesus would be talking to a Samaritan woman. It's very, very strange, unusual. But here he's talking to this woman, and they're having a conversation. And she says this, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain." So what's the subject? Worship. The subject is now worship. She's talking about how authentic their worship was. She's trying to boast in the worship of the Samaritans. She says, "Our fathers worship in this mountain." Verse 20. "And ye say in Jerusalem is the place to worship." You see the contention there? You see the contention they have? One said it was in the mountain. One said it's in Jerusalem. They were all saying it was in different places. They all had their... It's just like the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, the Charismatics, the Assemblies of... All that stuff. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're all wrapped up in some form of religion. And I'm not putting it down. All I'm saying is don't let it divide you from God. Amen. God's not divided. He is united. And I pray, I should have prayed that tonight, God make us one, like you and the Father are one. Because we are one. We have the same spirit. Amen. When we get to heaven, you won't see what color I am. You'll just know I'm a spirit. Glory to God. I'm going to be so handsome. I'm going to be buffed. I'm going to have black hair again. It's going to be thick again. Oh, come on, somebody. I can dream. All right. "Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, believe me, believe me. Trust me. Understand me." Now, look at this. The hour comes. The hour comes. The hour comes. One day with the Lord is like a thousand with man. So he says, the hour comes. What's he talking about here? When ye shall neither in this mountain nor at... So he's ending the argument about where you ought to worship, whose worship is better. He's ending all that. Mm-hmm. He's saying, let's squash that, as they would say in the hood. Let's just squash that argument. It didn't have any bearing anyway. It never should have been an argument anyway. He says, the hour cometh, that's coming a time, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So who should they have been worshiping? The Father. But they were worshiping something else. They were worshiping a religion. They weren't worshiping the Father. That's what he's trying to point out to them here. They weren't worshiping the Father. They didn't know who they worshiped. They were worshiping an idea. They thought, they took the Ten Commandments and made them all kinds of little laws to encumber people. That's not what God was trying to get across to them. Do you realize the Ten Commandments is fulfilled in you? When you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, you know what? You are fulfilling the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were righteous. They were holy. There was nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. It was just how they was administered. Ye worship, and see here, ye worship and know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh. The hour cometh. See, he said it again. The hour cometh. Something's coming. Something's about to change. Something's about to happen. We're about to move into a new thing. We're about to shift. We're not going to do things the same old way. Something's about to change. I can feel the teacher coming on now. I feel him coming on now. He says, we worship and know not what. We worship for salvation of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is. Now. Everybody say now. Now say it again. Now that last now is updated from the previous now. Yeah. So now is. Right now. Even now is. If I say right now is. Right now. Now is. Now is. He says this. And now is when the true worshipers. Well, if there was a true worshipers, there must have been a. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. What's the point of saying true worshipers? What's the point of saying true worshipers if there wasn't something that was wrong with the first worship? Huh? Mm-hmm. See, there's no need of saying the firstborn if there ain't a secondborn. Mm-hmm. Huh? People that are, say they are John Harry the third. If there's a third, then there was the first, and then there was a second. Otherwise, don't need to say you're number one. If you're number one, well, leave it alone. You're just you. Mm-hmm. So he's saying the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, we're going to come back to that statement here in a minute. Okay. We're going to tear this apart. For the Father seeketh. He seeks who? He seeks for the true worshipers. He's been waiting for an hour to come. He's been waiting for a shift. He's been waiting for a change. He's been waiting for an adjustment in our worship, in the worship of the Jews. He's saying now is that time that we will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for you. He's waiting on you. Now remember, he says, now is. So now, he's waiting on your worship. Now he's waiting on your worship. When I leave out of this building, he's like, I'm waiting on your worship. When I walk into my home, I'm waiting on your worship. When I walk into this building, he's waiting on our worship. When I walk into a problem, when I encounter a problem, he's waiting on my worship. Why? Now is the time. Now is the time. So when do you not worship God? Whenever is there not a now? Huh? Is that a hard question? Is there ever never a now? So every time that I can think, it now is the time to worship him. Well, I'm in Sunday school, Brother Craig. Now is the time to worship him. But Pastor Craig, we're in communion. Now is the time to worship him. I'm going to give my offering to DTC. Praise the Lord. Now is the time to worship him. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, what you're going through, what the challenge is. Listen, even when everything is going all right, amen, now is the time to worship him. I don't think y'all believe that.
Yes, sir.
Y'all looking at me like cows looking at Newgate. I told you I was in teaching mode tonight. Now is the time for us to worship him. Now listen, for God is a spirit.
Yes, he is.
Now let me ask you a question. What are you?
A spirit.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
You sure you ain't a body?
No.
You sure you ain't a mind?
No.
So you are a spirit and God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him what?
In spirit
and in truth. Now let's find out what that means. Let's find out what I just talked about. When I began by looking at verse 21, what did Jesus really mean when he said, by the hour cometh? What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? What does he mean about true worshipers? What does he mean about, what is he implying? Is he implying that the Jews were not true worshipers? Are we starting division here again? No, we're not. In fact, we're ending the division. I also want to look at the phrase in verse 24, in spirit and in truth. Now, here's what, in essence, he was telling the Samaritan woman. He was saying this, that this is the generation, this is the hour, this is a dispensation. The time has now come, and now is. In other words, that here is where everything the Jews that they know about worship was going to change. Let me ask you a question. How did the Jews worship God? It's not a trick question. How did the Jews worship God? By sacrifices. That was all they knew. But he was saying this to that woman. That's all about the change. Oh, that's about the change. In other words, he was saying that now I, Jesus, have come into the earth. Next, I am going to give my life so that others may experience the kind of worship that I have with my Father every single day. That's what he was saying. You're going to experience my Father in a way that you've never experienced him before. Because what I'm going to do is allow you to experience him, experience the Father while you are still on the earth. He says, what I'm going to do to make this possible, here's what I'm going to do. I'm making you a solemn, I am telling you right now, woman, I am making you a solemn promise that I will not break, that I'm going to descend into the deep and I'm going to take on your sin, your sicknesses, and all of your diseases. And I'm going to go into the depth of hell. I'm going to take your sin from past, present, and even in the future, and I'm going to bear them on my back. Let me ask you a question. You got your seatbelt on?
Yes, sir.
If Jesus bore my sin, sicknesses, and diseases, why am I running around here with some damnable disease? Huh? It's real quiet in this Presbyterian church. For the sake of the recording, there are people in this building, in this room. See, if he bore them, if he paid for them, and let's just use this damnable disease called the big C that everybody hates to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the big C. He bore cancer in his own body.
Yes.
He went to hell with it. God laid that on him. So why should you allow the devil to double dip and put cancer on your body? Mm. Huh? Mm. Explain that to me, church. Explain that to me, pastor. Well, Brother Craig, it's the day and hour in which we live. Just those things that we have to be patient with, we have to endure to the end, because the great God wants to see how much you can endure. That's a bunch of hogwash. No, the reason why we're bearing them is because we don't believe this.
Amen.
He was telling this woman, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to go to the deepest part of the earth. Some people say, well, he didn't go to hell. Well, wherever he went somewhere. He had to pay for it. He died. Let me say this. He didn't really die. He exchanged your dead nature for his. He took on your sin nature. That's what water baptism is all about. When he was baptized in that river, what he was saying was, Father, I vow, I'm going to lay down my life. And when he died that day, he didn't sin. Sin was laid upon him, but he exchanged his nature for your nature. Your dead nature that you were born with. And you said, now while I'm there, I'm going to receive the Spirit of Christ. And I'm going to set another law in motion. The law of sin and death is in motion. But I'm going to set another law into motion. I'm going to start the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm going to enact that law when I'm raised from the dead. And I'm going to receive for the first time, the Spirit of Christ is going to raise me from not physical death, but spiritual death. The Bible says in Romans, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. What is the Spirit of Christ? It is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's him getting a brand new nature from God. The same kind of nature you got when you were born again. And then he says, while I'm there, I'm going to receive this new Spirit. And then I'm going to ascend into heaven. Amen. And be seated in heavenly places right on the right-hand side of my Father. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Now let's talk, go down to verse 24 here. Mm-hmm. Bring up verse 24, please. Look at this verse 24. I'm going to ask you a question that I always ask every student that's under me. And I'll never quit asking this question until you understand it. You got to learn this, and don't let anybody tell you that ain't important. It's one of the most important reasons why we cannot believe God. Mm-hmm. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, big S or little s. Now, before you answer the question, look at the verse. Mm-hmm. Look at the verse. The only two options you have is the Holy Ghost and your new nature. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, it says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Big S or little s?
Little s.
Why is it little s?
It's our new nature.
It's your new nature. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost doesn't need any instruction on how to worship God. He's been worshiping God ever since he came into existence billions and billions and billions of years ago. Okay? But why is that so important? Because that's where you worship God from that new nature. So what does the term in spirit mean? Because Jesus has now paid the price for your sins, sickness, and diseases, we also will be baptized into his death and be made alive with him. Now listen at this. The time that Jesus went into the bowels of the earth, you died too. Amen. Yeah, man, I wasn't born then. Doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, you went to hell then. You paid the price then. You died then.
Amen.
You died with Jesus. Now look, what else happened? Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you are what?
Spirit.
Well, come on then. I ain't worried about your body.
Uh-huh.
Not right now.
Yes,
I will be in a few minutes. Right now, I ain't worried about your body. Right now, I'm talking about your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Once I get you to understand what your spirit is, listen, the power in your spirit has the ability, has the power within it to drive out every manner of sickness and disease. If you'll learn how to, if you understand who you truly are, you can drive out any manner of sickness and disease. I'm talking about arthritis. I'm talking about anything that you would contract. If you'll just spend time with God, he'll show you how to drive that stuff out of your body. All things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
The only reason why the church is dying over these damnable diseases is because we don't believe. Yeah, my brother, sister, so-and-so, she believed. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to look her When she comes off that little thing in heaven, wherever it does, that she dies, he's going to say, I want you to know one thing, sister. I bore your sickness and diseases in my own body. You want to see the stripes? He's going to turn around and say, you see those marks back there? I bore it. Mm-hmm. He bore it. Mm-hmm. It's undeniable. We can't get around this. And the more we try to get around it, the more the enemy gains on our flesh and we begin not to believe. We have got to drive out this unbelief out of us, church. We do.
Amen.
We've got to quit believing these things that we've been taught many, many years ago. They just were not true.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to this. Here's what he was telling her. The day I sit down on the right hand of the Father is the day I'm going to seat you also in heavenly places. I'm going to sit you there. So let me ask you a question. Where are you seated tonight? Be careful answering that. It's a trick question. Where are you seated now? You're seated in heavenly places. Get your mind out of the natural. You are a spiritual being. You are seated in heavenly places. Far above. I'm sorry to be yelling. Far above all principality and power and dominion and might. You're seated far above it. I said you're seated far above it. Far above it. Let me ask you a question. I won't use the current president because most people don't like him, so I'll just use President Obama.
Okay. I like him.
What if President Obama's daughters were out in Washington, D.C. on the corner with a sign that says, "Bless me if you can"? What would you think? Now, it's a trick question. Don't answer it too fast. What would you say? So the Spirit of God would ask you, do you know who you are? You're down here in the earth and you're begging. God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I told you I was in a teaching mode tonight. I told you I was in one of the moods tonight. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him. He puts the anointing on me. He turns it up, not me. You've been seated in heavenly places. And every time someone tells you that's not possible, you allow them to dethrone you and put you down where you don't belong. Why are you allowing the world and the cares of the world to dethrone you? Don't shout me down, church. Why are you allowing the world to put you in a place you don't belong? And then you wonder why you feel uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable because you've been seated in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and dominion and might. Well, I just can't get rid of this thing. Don't give up. Let me teach you how to spend time with him until you get to a place where all things are possible to him that believes. Let me work with you for a while. Let me teach you how to spend time with God one-on-one, giving him praise and giving him glory. Quit being lazy and get up off your spiritual duff and get on your place in God. Get in that position of freedom. Let him put you in that position of freedom. Let him begin to tell you that he can walk you out of this and you won't have the smell of smoke on you at all. Why don't you go there with me? Huh? It doesn't cost you anything. Now, don't tell me that you want to. But when I ask you about your private worship time, well, Pastor, I just ain't got that kind of time. I know a woman, she right now, she is suffering. And I say, darling, you don't work. You can spend hours giving him praise and giving him glory. Yeah, I don't know how. You can't say, I love you, I worship you, I magnify you. I know what she's saying. The moment she opens up her mouth and she starts saying that, her flesh says, shut up, ain't nothing happening. I'm bigger than that little worship that you're giving. It ain't going to change me. I ain't moving. I'm the biggest boulder you ever seen. Do you know I'm bigger than Mount Everest? You're never going to get rid of me. The only way you're going to get rid of me is when you die and go to heaven, and you better be praying that you get to heaven and I don't drag you into hell. Are you listening to me tonight? Simultaneously, when he's been seated in heavenly places, you'll receive a nature just like his that will make you a partaker of his divine nature. And when you receive this new nature, you'll be able to worship the Father out of your spirit, your new nature. It means that true worship will no longer come from the carnal part of a man, but rather it'll now come from the spirit of a man. The Old Testament saints could only give him worship from the carnal part of them. They could only obey instructions. They could only bring an animal and slaughter it and let the blood run out of it and then burn the thing and watch God engulf the sacrifice. And then they would think, well, I guess my sins are covered. You can go much further than that, my brother and sister. You can give God worship from the part of you that's been born again that looks just like him, your new nature. You have been made a partaker of his divine nature. Do you know what that means? You're a bone of his bone. You're flesh of his flesh. You're joined by the Spirit. You cannot separate water from wet. You cannot separate water from heat. You cannot be separated from God in the Spirit. Wow. You cannot be separated. You are joined. Now, here is your problem. You don't recognize that, and you don't go in there to his presence with intentions and receive what he has for you. You go in there thinking, he's not going to answer me. I goofed up last week. I just cussed so-and-so out. I just didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. I missed Bible study last week, and I should have been in church, but I wasn't at church. I should be singing in the choir, but I'm not. And you just go on and on and on, and God's going, you are a New Testament worshiper, not an Old Testament worshiper. I'm not moved by what you do. I'm moved by what you believe. Amen. Does that mean God doesn't require works? Yes, he requires righteous works. Sure, there are things he'll have you do. But you're not giving him worship just because you missed Bible study, just because you missed your prayer time, just because you missed your worship time. God's not making marks up in heaven. What God is saying, you should get to the place where you hate to miss worshiping with me. I don't want not to worship him. Amen. I don't want to go a day without worshiping him. I wake up at 4:00 in the morning, and I mean it comes early. But I am looking forward to worshiping him. You know why? Because I may have went to bed with a problem that I couldn't solve. So I went to bed giving him praise. And then I fell off to sleep. And then I woke up and that thing was right there. And instead of me getting up and going, oh, I don't know what I'm going, no, I give you praise. I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. Yes. I love you. And you know what happens to that problem? It goes. It just dissipates. Well, does the problem go away, Pastor? Oh, no. But there's something inside of me. There's a knower inside of me that says he has the answer. And it's on the way. And he'll give you enough patience to walk through until you get smack dab in front of the answer. He's not going to let you sit there quivering. He's going to say, stand straight. No, you're my son. You're my daughter. Stand straight. It's okay. I got your back. I ordained your praise. I have already stilled the enemy. Don't worry about him coming up behind you. I've already stilled him. Now you be still so I can get this answer over. Quit moving. Would you be still? See, this is why when people say, don't pray for patience because you get tribulations. You know why they get tribulations? Because they're too hard-headed. When they pray for patience, they should be still. But when they pray for patience, they get to running, and they get to looking, and they get to wondering, is it over here? Is it over here? Is it over here? Just be still, man. Just be still and know that he's God. Just be still. Just be still. What am I doing? I'm being still. I'm giving him praise. I'm worshiping him. I'm magnifying him. And I'm developing experience. And my worship reaches out for with the experience in the middle of my tribulation, in the middle of my test, in the middle of my trial. My worship reaches out and it grabs the experience that I'm having with him. And it says, hold on. Because hope is about to fill up. Hey, don't get me to preaching this message now. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 5 again on you. Hope is coming.
Yes.
Hope is being filled up.
Yes, it is.
Just because you did the right thing at the onset of your testing and your trial.
Amen.
You did the right thing.
Amen.
You didn't go, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought God loved me. If God loves me, why am I going through this anxiety? Why am I suffering with this fear? Why am I suffering with this depression? I thought God loved me. In the midst of your trials, stop your whining, your crying, and just look into heaven and tell him how much you love him.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Let me ask you women a question. When y'all was dating that good-looking guy and he got mad at you, you go, oh, honey, come on now. You talk real sweet to him. All you did that you can just to lure him back in your presence. Why don't you do that with God?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Say, God, I love you.
Amen.
I'm weak without you. I can't do this alone. This is bigger than I am. This is more than I've never been this way before. I am weak in this. I need your strength. Do you know that when God goes, nah, you're in the right posture for me to help you. Because you've relinquished control and you've allowed me to take the wheel of your life. Glory be to God.
Glory
be to God. He was telling this woman that this is something that the Old Testament were no longer going to be doing. Because the Old Testament saints could not give him the praise that he wanted. If you have your Bibles, go over to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Let me show you this old man. Let me show you this old man that you were. Many Christians try to teach this old man as a Christian having a little problem with his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this was a Christian that was not, this was a person that was not born again.
Mm-hmm.
He says this, he says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my fallen nature, in the part of me that has not been born again, the part of me. Now remember, this is talking about a man who had not been born again. Dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. See, this man wanted to do right. He knew the law. He knew he was supposed to do right, but he couldn't do it. For the good that I would, I do not. That's the law. But the evil which I would not, that's what I do. I commit sin. This is who you were. Verse 20, please. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth within me. He's talking about the sin nature that dwelleth within him. What makes every sinner dangerous is that he has the capacity with a fallen nature to be a Hitler, to be a Jeffrey Dahmer, to be a mass murderer, to commit some of the most heinous crimes. You want to know why we see all kinds of crimes going on now? It's because of the fallen nature. And until there are no, listen, you can't, God put the Jews under law because that was the only way that he could relate to them. It was through law. But listen, the law is for a righteous man. Just because you have laws, the more laws you write, it's just going to make the society more difficult to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Evil men will not respect the law. Now, me, if I'm driving 75 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour speed zone, I got somebody on my right hand side sitting in my truck that's going to say, you better slow down. You're going to get a ticket. That's the law. That's the law. But now that I'm born again, there is something in me that says, slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Now, I can choose not to hear that, which most of us do. Don't look at me so funny. Look at my sin. Y'all do the same thing. But there's something in you that's telling you, slow down. Why? Because you're breaking the law. Okay? So the thing is, what makes a person evil is the spirit within them. And there's no kind of psychology that's going to change that. The only thing that's going to change that, there's no kind of counseling that's going to change that. You may be able to temper it. You may be able to put them under the law. You may be able to cut off a foot or an arm or a leg or whatever. You may be able to incarcerate or do something. But the problem is that usually when they come out, they're probably even worse. Until you change the nature of a man, he's still going to be the man that he is. Why? Because the devil is his source. Because the devil is his source. Hell is his source. That's his source. That's his source. Now, here's the problem we have in the church. We make people come down, we put them in a box, we give them to walk down an aisle and go, I confess Jesus. But they don't confess it from their heart. When you don't confess it from your heart, you start looking for verses that say, am I always saved even though I sin? How much sin can I commit before I may go to hell? How far can I go, Pastor? See, that's why we have those kinds of questions. Because that person truly is not living unto righteousness. That person is truly living as far as they possibly can. They got their toes on the line and going, can I commit this sin and will God not send me to hell? That's the problem with the church. I will go on that, but I got another lesson to teach. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in the inward man. Verse 23, please. But I see the law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Give me verse 25, and I'm going to show you right here what happens. Here is the key that this man gets born again. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This man got born again. This man, and then from here, verse 25 is the end of chapter 27. There really shouldn't have been a break in the chapters. It's really one continuous thought, because chapter 8 begins with what? Say it again, please. There's therefore what?
Now.
What? Now. There's that word now again. So if there wasn't any condemnation when that was written, there's not any condemnation now that you're reading it. There's not any condemnation right now. So why are you feeling condemned? You're feeling condemned because your unrenewed mind is condemning you. It isn't God, it's your unrenewed mind. Because of your unbelief, you are allowing yourself to be condemned. It's not God condemning you. It's your unrenewed mind that's allowing you to be condemned. God is not condemning you. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
God is not condemning you. Well, I just committed a bad sin. There is therefore now. But I just committed adultery. There is therefore now. But I just robbed the bank. There is therefore now. But I just stole something. There is therefore now. Well, now, Pastor, you're preaching people. You're giving people a license to sin. Let me tell you something. People are going to sin anyway. They don't need a license to sin. They're sinning anyway. But the reason they're sinning is not because they know the truth, but because the truth has been misrepresented. because on the other side of that sin, there is something that's far, far greater than that. Because the sin is just trying to tell them that they're going to have this great experience, but right after the experience, it's going to come the condemnation every single time. Every time. So we should be teaching light. We should be teaching life. Mm-hmm. We should be teaching you spending time with God where the light source is. Mm-hmm. How many of you know, I don't know why I'm getting off on this, how many of you know about the Temple Mount being rebuilt? Okay. Well, they just have, there's just been birthed a red heifer that has no blemish. Now, what makes it so? Yes. It is prophecy being fulfilled. It's like, now, the red heifer is only about, 3 or 4 weeks old. So, but at this point in time, there are no white hairs or any other discolored hairs on this red heifer. So as time goes on, we'll see. Now, why is the red heifer so important? Because without the ash of the red heifer, the priest cannot be cleansed. But the priest cannot be cleansed, they cannot perform their ceremonial duties. So let me ask you a question. Who lit the fire in the temple in the first one?
God.
That was the temple that Moses built. Amen. Then Solomon built God a temple. Who lit the fire that in the temple that Solomon built?
God.
Okay. So let me ask you another question. Who's going to light the fire in this next temple?
God?
Has to be God. But when it does, revival is on, Jack. The world's going to go, nah. We didn't go near that thing. God lit that fire. Mm-hmm. It's going to authenticate the Jews. Going to initiate their animal sacrifices again. Now, do you know what implication that has? It's just like she said, Bible prophecy. Folks, we are in the end times. We are in the end times. Why am I bringing that up now? Because I'm trying to tell you, listen, you need to start preaching the right message to your little ones and quit preaching this message of religion and start preaching them this message of God so loved the world that he gave. And that God made you, gave you the ability to become a son and a daughter. And God loves you more than you realize. And God can supersede anything that the world is offering. Anything.
Amen.
Young people need to hear this message. Mm-hmm. This message is not for just people with gray hair. Even though I have gray hair and I'm teaching it. This message is for young people.
Amen.
If I could have heard this message when I was 18, 20 years old, I may not have gone the way I've gone. But see, all I could think, I couldn't relate to that guy on that cross with a little bit of blood on his nail, on his hands. And I couldn't relate to that guy. I'm like, who is this? What does it mean? But now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. He went to hell for me. He bore my sins, sicknesses, and diseases. See, as far as I'm concerned, I do away with all the crosses. Because you know what? That ain't where he's at, man. He's sitting on the throne.
Yes, he is.
And he's came into his glory.
Amen.
And he's released his kingdom within us.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the thing. I'd have little thrones all over my wall. And Jesus seated on them. Because that's who he is.
Wow.
See, we want to remember the cross, but it's not the cross that is so important. It's that he has been raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now he lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And now he wants to have fellowship with you. Now imagine the God that put the heavens in the sky, the God that made the spun the universes in the universe, the planets in the universe. That God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to crawl up into his lap while you're wearing a flesh and worship him like you'll worship him one day when you get to heaven. He thought it would be so cool to put his, I was talking about the temple, right? He thought it would be so cool to light your candle. to light the fire in your temple while you were still here on the earth. It would be so cool for you to walk around in this image of Christ and allow the world to see, no matter what you're going through, you're continuously giving him praise and giving him glory. He thought it would be so cool for the world to go, how come you don't flinch because you're going through all these problems? He thought that would be so cool to have you be a witness for his glory here on the earth. He loves you, folks. He loves you with everything within him. He's done everything he possibly can. He's pursued you. He crossed a great divide. You think that now he's done pursuing you? No, he is still pursuing you. Why don't you just stop and just say, I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And yes, I want to tell you, yes, your flesh is going to cry out. It's going to fuss. It's going to scream. It's going to tell you that nothing is happening. It's going to tell you that your problem is so big, it's going to cave in on you. But don't believe it. You just keep on worshiping him. Where you are today is where you are today, but you will not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, you'll be one step beyond that stuff. And if you get back in there tomorrow, you'll be another step ahead of it. If you get back in the next day, you'll be another step beyond it. And one day, you'll be way past this thing. You'll look back and go, is that the thing that was trying to stop me? I defeated it.
Amen.
I've got so many victories like that, I could fill up this room.
Go ahead now.
God is who he says he is.
Yes, he is.
And the bottom line is, we just have to be still. Because listen, Christians are watching us. Our family members are watching us. We have supervisors watching us. We have people observing us and saying, son, you are calling your own self a Christian, huh? Yeah. But you know, up to this point in time, they've had a right to ridicule us. We don't have a very good history. We cheat, we lie, we steal, we fornicate. We look just like the world. In fact, one guy told me one time, he says, listen, why would I want to be like you when you want my money, you want my women, you want my cars, you want my houses, you want my jewelry, you want everything I got? Why would I want to be like you? And I went, got a point. But now I can tell him this. Here's why you want to be like me. Because when you go home tonight and you see this big problem that's looming in your life, when the doctors tell you, listen, you only got a few months to live, all I know is you'll go home every night and you'll want to put a gun to your head and end the agony. But I'll go home tonight with the same problem and I'll lift my hands and I said, you're not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your own name. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never fail. Therefore, I say, by his stripes I am healed, and I give you praise. And I'll worship him for about 35, 40 minutes, and I'll go right back to that scenario again, and I'll say, you have healed me, and I'll go right back to worship him again for another 30 minutes. Listen, my wife the other day, she kind of got surprised. She had this pain in her back. Oh! Well, okay. Okay, well, I let it go like this. Sister wasn't walking upright, I can tell you that. All right? And so I said, I give you praise. That's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I give you praise that by his stripes. She never heard me say a thing. And I just began to give him praise. Here, sister, come up the stairs. You pray for me? Yeah. Boy, it worked! But now, usually what you go is, really? No, now you want to sit down? And? It's no big deal to me. I expect it to work.
Amen.
This morning, and she was kind of having more pain while she was sleeping, I just said, I bind you. I give you praise. I guarantee you, I haven't talked to her yet about the pain, but I guarantee she woke up this morning. gone. Why? I know how to fight.
Amen.
I've learned how to fight.
Yes, sir.
And I want to teach you how to do the same thing.
Amen.
I don't have the corner market on it. It's no secret. The secret is the church just hasn't been teaching it.
Amen.
We teach all the other stuff. We spit, we slobber, we rhyme, we do all these things. But we don't teach you how to have victory. Enough of that.
Amen.
It's time to walk in victory.
Amen.
And next week I'm going to teach you what it means in truth. See, in spirit means, in 2 weeks, in spirit means I have the capacity to house and reservoir the love of God. In spirit means I have the capacity to worship him in spirit. In spirit means that I am connected with him and therefore I cannot fail.
Wow.
That's what it means in spirit.
Wow.
In spirit. Now, he made me this way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make myself. He made me this way. Now, the thing is, when he made me this way, I didn't know what to do because nobody gave me the instructions. But now that I've been spending time with him, I found the instructions.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you something. Well, I won't go that far. See, he can say things to me I can't say to you because you'd be like, oh, pastor. But you would be a knucklehead not to exercise this. And I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how much you got on your plate. The simple fact that the devil has you that busy tells me he doesn't want you to have victory. That's why he got you that victory. I know people, you retired, right? You're probably more busy now than you were when you worked. Huh? Why? Because the devil knows you better than you know yourself. I had a guy, he says, man, I'm going to retire. I'm going to have all kind of time to spend with God. He retired. He ain't spend no time with God. Why? Because the devil knows how to keep you busy. How old will you be in 10 years? I don't want the answer. But think about it. 10 years from now, how old will you be? Will you be 10 years older, still living in the same way? Or will you be 10 years wiser, spending time with God? Don't answer the question. But 15 years ago, I decided I'm not going to live the way I've been living.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I don't care I don't care if you got a bigger car than I got. I don't care if you got a bigger ring than I got. I don't care if you got a prettier wife. I'm sorry. If you got, I don't care what you got better than mine. I don't care. All I care about is this. I'm going to be in his face 24/7.
Amen.
I hope I see you there.
Amen.
I hope I see you there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I see you there. I hope I see you in his presence. I hope I run into you when you are in the throne room. I hope I see you in there because I'm going to be in there. Am I looking for you? No, but I'd love to run into you.
Amen.
And listen, we don't have to go, I was here first. No, he's like, come on, everybody. Just come on up. I can hold all of you at one time.
Amen.
I can squeeze all of you at the same time. I can be individual to every single one of you. Come on in this place. Amen. In spirit, you have the equipment now to give God exactly what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
In spirit. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes,
in spirit. Glory to God. Well, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to stop on time. Pizza night.